News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Pound cake from Sammy Hagar and Van Halen. Bo Thompson's not here today. I got Beth Troutman from Good Morning BT, and I'm happy to have you here. I mean, it's perfect because you're a great baker. You're a great cook. I mean, it's a perfect song for you there. I mean, it's outfitting.
Well, exactly. I can make a heck of a pound cake, right?
That's good. Look, that's what it's all about. Just be careful. We got to be careful. We don't want to offend anybody out there around the world. You know, we had a horrible incident take place here today in between you all coming off the air and me coming onto the air. Apparently the Salman Rushdie fatwa has been revisited in a very violent way in Western New York today. What do we know about this, Beth?
You know, this is really, this has been weighing on me all day since I heard the news. And you're right, it happened about an hour after Bo and I went off the air. It happened around 11 a.m. Salman Rushdie was scheduled to speak at a conference in New York. And ironically, this conference was, he was supposed to lecture about the United States basically being a great safe haven for authors who are facing persecution of any kind. Salman Rushdie, we know, has faced quite a bit of specifically religious persecution over a book that he wrote back in 1988 called The Satanic Verses. And what happened at around 11 a.m. is a man dressed in black with a black mask rushed the lectern where Salman Rushdie was set to speak and attacked him. And according to eyewitnesses, he was stabbed somewhere in the multiple number of times. Some are saying in between 10 and 20 times, but we know for sure that he was he got a pretty severe stab in the neck. Reports right now are saying that he is currently in surgery. We don't know any updates on his condition other than the fact that he is in surgery. But like you just said, it seems like the fatwa is back in action. And for those who don't really know a whole lot about this, back in 1989, after the book The Satanic Verses was released, Ayatollah Khomeini, who was at that time the supreme leader in Iran, called for Salman Rushdie's execution and basically put a multi-million dollar bounty on his head. And a fatwa is basically a religious edict that people, you know, of that Muslim faith tend to follow, especially extremists. And the sad thing that's happened in the past few hours is that if you look at any international media, some hardline supporters of Iran's religious leaders, they're saying things, and this is even according to the New York Times, they're saying, quote, that this deserves congratulations. Yeah. And that's where my heart really breaks because, you know, Salman Rushdie was kind of forced into isolation and into hiding for about a decade after this original fatwa was released in 89 and, you know, has found some refuge here in the United States, in New York specifically, in the last few years. And for this to happen, and specifically at a time when he was set to talk about the U.S. being a safe haven for authors facing persecution, it's just heartbreaking. And it's on the heels of this federal indictment being released that showed the alleged assassination plot of former National Security Advisor John Bolton. So we're seeing an uptick right now. That was particularly the IRGC, which is, for listeners who, again, aren't really focused in on Iran right now, it's the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. And, I mean, this is an uptick, and this is scary stuff that we're seeing in motion. And John Bolton even said that this is showing that other people are at risk, you know, that this isn't just about John Bolton. I mean, Salman Rushdie is part of this, and they do have somebody in custody.
Right.
We do know his name, but not much else about him yet, but it's a 24-year-old named Hadi Matar, which is interesting. He's 24. You know, he wasn't even alive when the book was initially released or when, you know, Ayatollah Khomeini put the fatwa out.
You know, it's really an incredible story, and for those of us who remember well when this first happened in 89, how shocking it was. Iran was a much bigger player in the world stage back in 89 than they are now. I mean, they're still a significant player, but you know, they were sort of one of the great threats that we kind of looked at in the region. And I had to read this book in school.
I read excerpts of it in a religion and literature class.
I read it. I had to read it for a censorship class. We had some really interesting. We had about six very interesting books that we had to read in this class. And this book is a heavy lift. This is a dense book, and we could explain all the nuances of it, but essentially, it's sort of an alternative telling of the foundation of Islam and what the Prophet did to start it. And so I don't know. I always wondered, this is an honest question. I always wondered, who was it in the regime that read it? Because if it's blasphemy, right? I mean, always like saying, well, who read the book and then looked at it and said, holy cow, we should issue a fatwa? Or was it sort of just assumed it was really horrible? I always wondered about that, Beth.
Well, Salman Rushdie actually did a BBC interview about that it was like the early 2000s, and he even said he doesn't think that anybody actually read it, that anybody in the regime read it. And he even said that he wished he had written a more critical book than what it was that he wrote, because the part that he assumes that some people maybe read out of context, there was kind of this like trippy dream sequence,
right? Correct.
In the book about Muhammad and his and kind of like Satan's influence over him at one point,
right?
And I guess that was the part that people in the Muslim faith thought was blasphemous. But as is the case with a lot of literature, people take an excerpt out of it, and then they say this is terrible, and then it becomes and it was banned in Iran, it was banned in Pakistan, it ended up they banned it in parts of India, which is another irony, given that Salman Rushdie is an Indian.
He's Indian, yeah, right,
man, yeah.
And the characters in the book and the characters in the book are Indian, if I recall correctly. I think they were.
Yeah.
I think they were also Indian. So.
Well, and the other thing that's weird, that's interesting about this, and that puts our focus back on this region and not just Iran, but in the 90s, Al Qaeda put Salman Rushdie on a hit list.
That's right.
Pakistan actually did they created a movie that was super popular in Pakistan in the 90s that depicted Salman Rushdie as this like villain plotting to cause the fall of Pakistan.
That's
and
right.
It was a really popular movie at the time. And, you know, there are some interesting things going on there in Pakistan as well now with, the vote of no confidence for Imran Khan and this new regime in, and then Imran Khan blaming America for what happened.
That's
and
right.
So there's a lot of tension in this region. And so I'm wondering, as we find out more about this alleged attacker, Hadi Matar, what we're going to find out about his nationality. Apparently, his address is in New Jersey, but I wonder if we're going to find that he has Al Qaeda ties. Does he have Pakistan ties? Does he have our, IRGC ties? You know, where does this all come from?
Yeah, it's good. This is going to be a story that's developing over the next number of days, and I know you all will be tracking it as well on bright and early on Monday morning. And We do appreciate you coming by on the show, my friend.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just came in with a whole bunch of heady information.
It's excellent. No, it's great stuff. See, this is awesome. This is what the Crossing of the Stream is all about, and it's great. Beth Troutman, you're the best. I appreciate you coming by on the program, my friend.
Well, I owe you guys a pound cake. So
that's it.
That's not kind of
They're going to hold you to it. You better watch out.